people like to have science figure things out, and they're uncomfortable if we spend decades at a time not knowing what the answer is. But there's a long history where it's many events where it's taken us that long to figure out what's going on. You can add up all the forces on an object and figure out how it should behave. That's a prediction. Then you could test whether the actual object in the real world behaves that way. A placeholder is more a not yet understood phenomenon. So it doesn't necessarily predict the behavior of a specific object, but it allows us to make predictions.
That's John Timmer, our final guest for today, talking about the notion of the placeholder. And it's particularly relevant at the moment because you often hear people questioning the vast scientific research that's been done on climate change, for instance, simply because not all of the I's have been dotted and the T's crossed. The implication being that unless all of the science is accounted for, it's all suspect. Dr. Timmer has a background in biochemistry and molecular and cell biology, and he's science editor for the website Ars Technica. He recently wrote an interesting piece in praise and defence of the placeholder. John Timmer.
So placeholder isn't a technical term. It was just one that really fits the description of what I was trying to get across. The word itself implies what I'm talking about. It's something we stick in for an area we don't know.
So it's almost like a scientific question mark in that sense, isn't it?
Very much so. It's there used to be the old maps where, you know, you came to the end of the world and there was a big blank space, and that's kind of what the placeholders sit in for.
Now, give us an example of a famous placeholder.
One of the easiest ones to understand is genetics. So if you remember from school biology, Mendel developed genetics and came up with the ideas of genes, but he had no idea what they were. And in fact, it took about a century for us to figure out the structure of DNA and get a better sense of what a gene actually looked like. And during that 100 years, genetics was highly successful, but nobody really knew what a gene was.
And so the point there being that not knowing about what we now know as a gene really didn't make any difference to the validity of the theory that Mendel put forward.
Absolutely correct. So it was easy to repeat Mendel's experiments and see he had it right. And people did that, and then they started elaborating on it, and genetics developed as a highly successful field, all without being slowed down by the fact that the precise identity of a gene wasn't possible to know.
And in terms of science, I know you've also said that Charles Darwin's theory of evolution relied on placeholders as well. How common is that in scientific work for there to be a placeholder as people are putting together theories, as they're trying to understand the way the world works?
In some senses, they're there all the time. There are always areas off the edge of the map where science doesn't know what's going on, and so every theory has bits of placeholders about it. Some of them are minor technicalities, others are major features. So in Darwin's case, the whole idea was evolution through selection of heritable traits. And he had no theory of heredity. Mendel's work hadn't been recognized back then. And yet his theory was successful despite the fact that nobody knew how the traits were actually inherited.
Now, you've also, in your article for Ars Technica, you've made the point that in terms of placeholders, that they're not just relevant in the softer sciences, as you call them, things like biology, but also in physics. Explain what you mean by
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So in a lot of ways, gravity is one of the oldest things we know about in physics. It goes back to Newton. But if you think about it now, they built the LHC to try to find the particle that gives other particles mass. And mass is a key component of any understanding of gravity, and we still don't know that. So that's a placeholder, and it has been for centuries.
Now, in a sense, you've championed the role of the placeholder in science because I take it you're concerned about the way in which a lot of scientific theory at the moment is discarded. People say, oh, well, you can't prove that part of your theory, therefore the rest of it must be suspect. Is that correct?
The topic that really inspired me to write the column was dark matter, and that's very much a placeholder. So if we look out in the universe, we see all these structures, galaxies, clusters of galaxies, up to the very structure of the universe itself, behaving as if there is more mass than we can see. And since we know gravity, our understanding of gravity seems to work very well, then the alternative to replacing gravity is to posit that there's mass we can't see. And so that, in a way, is just a way of getting the equations to work. We get to keep gravity and we get make the numbers add up so that everything behaves properly, even though we can't see what's out there. And people are incensed by that. You know, incensed might be overstating that, but there are a lot of people uncomfortable with that because it seems just like cooking the books to make the numbers add up. So what I was trying to get across is that there's a long history of placeholders like dark matter out there, and people need to recognize that this is standard procedure in science, and they shouldn't view the physics community as going off the rails.
And, of course, you're not saying that every placeholder is going to be correct, because while we've talked about some famous ones that have turned out to be correct, there must be, well, there must have been a lot that seemed like they were possible that turned out to be dead ends.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, history is littered with things like the contortions people had to go through to make the Earth the center of the solar system. There was a whole set of worked out mathematics that got the orbits of the other planets right despite not putting the sun in the middle. And that was a placeholder for understanding how the solar system worked, and it turned out to be completely wrong.
And look, just a final question. I mean, when students are studying science, are they introduced to the idea of a placeholder? Or is that something that you come across as you actually start to practice?
I can't say how that works out for the Australian education system, but in the US, I certainly never came across it. And it was only after studying a wide number of areas of science that I became aware that things like dark matter exist now and they're controversial, but in the past, similar controversies existed. I think it would be better for everyone to understand that. There's a lot of desire for certainty, and normally science operates in an environment where there's a lot of uncertainty or it wouldn't have anything to look at. And placeholders are a part of that general sense of uncertainty where we have phenomena we can't understand yet. And I think everybody would benefit greatly from realizing that science can't give us 100% exact proofs, but it can get us pretty close.
John Timmer, science editor at Ars Technica, thank you for joining us on Future Tense.
Thank you very much.
And if you'd like to read John Timmer's article on the role of the placeholder, you'll find the link on our website.